Hello, good morning. So, is social deprivation to blame for young people rioting in Londonderry, or is it bad parenting? Or somewhere in between. Kids as young as 8 years old have been involved in the trouble, but maybe they need understanding and not condemnation. There were serious disturbances in the city last week, with the police attacked over six consecutive nights, petrol bombs thrown, and on one occasion live rounds fired. What do you think of this morning? 0-30-30-80-55-55. We especially want to hear from you if you live in the Northwest. Commentator and former politician Eamon McCann joins me. Good morning to you, Eamon.
Good morning.
And we also have the Ulster Unionist MLA, Doug Beattie. Good morning, Doug.
Morning, Vinny.
Doug, we'll start with you. What do you think?
Well, I think social deprivation and bad parenting have all got parts to play in regards to this. And you can see that. But so has the weather has got a part to play in this as well. And antisocial behaviour and alcohol have all got parts to play. But I think the problem that we have is this is being orchestrated. There is coercive behaviour going on the streets of Londonderry and elsewhere in Northern Ireland, I have to say, where people are setting this up. They are getting the petrol, they are getting the matches, they are getting and showing the people how to use petrol bombs, who are bringing weapons onto the street, blast bombs onto the street. This cannot be down purely to bad parenting.
Okay.
Either can it be down purely to social deprivation? Everything has a factor.
Well,
but
let's talk about
this beyond that.
Yeah, let's talk about the social deprivation. Do you believe that that is an issue in the area that can lead to something like this? And can that ever be used as some kind of excuse for that kind of behaviour?
No, I don't think it can be used as any form of an excuse. But it is a factor, and I think everybody would agree that it is a factor. But the reality is, we're all saying this, and you're saying it, and I'm saying, I'm sure Eamon will say it, this is a very small minority who are doing this. So it's not a small minority who are socially deprived. So people are making the right choices. Parents are making the right choices and are allowing their children to go out and rant. So there is a few who are, but these few are being led by people who are much older than them.
Yeah.
So no, there is absolutely no excuse. And you can't use social deprivation or bad parenting skills as an excuse for what was going on over the last number of days in Londonderry, or indeed in East Belfast. It's absolutely disgraceful, and we need to put a clear message out there that we need to target the orchestrators of what's going on.
Okay, Eamon McCann, we will hear from Bishop Donal McKeown later in the programme. He did say that some communities that suffered much in the past are still suffering disadvantage in relation to what's been happening. Do you think, is there any truth in that?
Oh yes, there's a lot of truth in what the Bishop said, and I was at the meeting where he said this on Friday night, wasn't it? I think the Bishop, I think, made the most radical speech that was made precisely because he said the thing that you've just quoted. But of course, it is right that what we have here is certainly a minority of the younger age group around Derry, but they are fairly concentrated. The young people that I saw, hadn't come from outside the area to ride. They mostly were. So they were the sons and the brothers and sisters of the, hardly any sisters, almost all young men, who were around the area. I don't think that in the first couple of days that it was orchestrated. I don't. I know sort of when you see, 50 or 60 kids out doing, hurling stones and petrol bombs or whatever, you think, well, that must have been organised by sinister elements. It is my belief and my observation that sinister elements, if we want to call them that, did intervene and take advantage of it. Absolutely no doubt about
okay,
that.
Okay, well, whether we talk about that or what initially started it, what do you think is behind it for those young people?
Well, what's behind by sort of a generalised anger and rage. That exists in many working class communities, not just in the north here, but right across these islands. One of the difficulties and one of the differences here in the north is that there is a political context in which these things happen, and you can't separate Belfast and Bonfire Night with what's happening in Derry, and if petrol bombs are thrown into the fountain area, which they were, that will have an effect outside as well. So these things aren't compartmentalised.
Okay.
At one time.
I'm intrigued to find out your thoughts behind, you mentioned there, anger and rage that are filling these young people. What's causing that? What do you believe is the source of that?
Well, the source of that, basically, sort of, is that they feel left out. Now, you have to remember...
What does that mean?
Well, let me explain to you, sort of, you did mention there, sort of, that there's some people as young as 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yes.
I mean, these are my neighbours. And I'm not saying that they're from our street, in case people yes. are listening. But there are people, young people from this area, which is a highly deprived area. But what is more, and what is particular to this part of the world, is that they are continually being lectured, continually hear moralistic condemnations of themselves, and most crucially of all, hear all the time about things getting better, about there being a buzz in the town.
Condemnation of them for throwing stones, throwing petrol bombs, for people attacking the police.
I'm not saying that it justifies anything or explains anything. I'm trying to outline.
No, but when you reference them hearing people condemn what they are doing.
Sorry?
I'm just going to, we'll check your line, Eamon, because it's not great, and we'll try and come back to you in a moment. Doug, we'll go back to you at this point. That sure. deprivation element, I think if people aren't from that area, I know there are issues across, as you get in any country, across Northern Ireland. But what is it like in Derry, Londonderry? What problems are people coming up against?
Well, I think, look, Vinny, I think the issue of deprivation, whether it's in Londonderry or whether it's in Portadown or whether it's in Armagh or whether it's in Belfast, is exactly the same. It is families who are normally from low income, whose parents are out, who are having to work just to maintain a household. And that's not demonising them for doing that, quite the opposite. But it does mean sometimes that the children are left to roam. And the reality is, when the children are left to roam, what happens is they follow what the older kids are doing, and the older kids are following what the older men are telling them to do. And that's the way the cycle works. And the problem that we have, certainly in places like Londonderry and elsewhere, is that rioting was once romanticised. It was romanticised as being the right thing to do. So these young boys who are being coerced by older men, and I disagree firmly with Eamon when he says there isn't somebody organising this, they're being coerced, and they're going out and they are doing this. And they are the ones who are going to find themselves with a criminal record. And I think that is absolutely disgraceful. But it is certainly more than going beyond antisocial behaviour. I mean, people could go out and organise a football match for these young children, as opposed to going out and organising a trolley full of bottles, petrol and rags for these children. And you can see it every single day that rioting went on. So I fervently disagree. I think it is coercive behaviour in exactly the same way that we've seen it in East Belfast and elsewhere.
What about that link that has been drawn by some between deprivation, people that are living in deprived areas, low income, and the Troubles?
Yeah, but to take that to its natural conclusion, because we're saying this is a minority, there are quite a few people who live in deprived area, but we're saying this is a minority. So what is taking somebody from a deprived area who is turning left to go and play a football match from somebody in a deprived area who's turning right to go and throw bottles and stones at the police? There's something in there who are directing these children in one way or the other, because it is an absolute minority. And Londonderry is suffering for that, because that is not what people see Londonderry as being. Even in some of the socially deprived areas, they do not see that as a reflection of who they are, what they are, and what they stand for.
Yeah.
This is a small group who are being signposted to pick up stones, to throw blast bombs, to throw petrol bombs. And do you know that image we saw of that young boy trying to put a petrol bomb through the window of a white van, that is attempted murder. You know, that man, if I had put that through that windscreen with somebody driving that vehicle, he would have set him alight, he would have burned him to death. That was attempted murder. This goes well beyond social deprivation.
Eamon McCann?
What are you asking me?
Well, your thoughts on that. We were talking before, you had a problem with your line there regarding the deprivation, the link that's suggested between that and the Troubles, and the fact, as Doug has pointed out there, some of these young people, you know, that they might come from a deprived area, but they come to a fork in the road. One side is, for example, a football match. The other side is petrol bombs and stoning the police. How do you try and encourage them to take the football match route?
Well, let me say first that you might be surprised to discover that some of those who play football of an evening might also be those who riot on another evening. Some of those who you'll hear praised sometimes sort of as the great future, because they do well at school, they're involved in, you know, sort of significant scientific experiments sort of, which are highlighted at various competitions. You say, well, they're the good youngsters.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but how do we stop young people from making the wrong decision if their parents aren't there to do it for them?
Well, frequently their parents are there. On other occasions, their parents are not there because of necessity. We're in a situation, if you're a lone parent, For example, and this isn't an abstract example. It's the type of thing which happens when I would know the people involved. So that you have a lone parent who goes out to work because they're going to be sanctioned if they don't. And the rules and regulations sort of, and whether you can say, it was just a few years ago that you were excused all that. If you could say, well, in the best interest of my child, I can't take a job. I have to be at home. You can't say that anymore. Now, there's something we could do. That might be a minor thing. We could debate whether it's got, what relevance. Is it only got tiny relevance? But it's something which certainly is relevant, which we could do something about. Could we all agree to do that? And also, I've been listening all my life, I've been in and around the Troubles in Northern Ireland for half a century. Over and over, all the arguments that we're having today in the debates are the same arguments where people say, oh, well, there may be deprivation, there may be sectarianism, maybe all sorts of things, but look, not everybody goes out and marches and riots or takes to the gun or anything. We know that. We don't need to be convinced of that.
Okay, let's take the first call of the day from Portavogie. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Go ahead.
Deprivation. I grew up in West Belfast, one of nine children of a Protestant family. We had a fairly basic life. My father worked two jobs. My mother stayed at home and looked after her children. So we didn't have all the goods and services that they have today. My father was never unemployed, and he looked after his family financially as best he could. I'm sick and tired of listening to this comment that they're socially depraved or that their parents can't cope or this, that and the other thing. They aren't socially depraved. West Belfast is a ghetto now. I used to live in Suffolk, and Suffolk was a lovely estate.
Well, I'm not sure people that live in West Belfast would like it to be described in that manner.
Until the IRA moved in and put us all out of our houses forcefully, now West Belfast is a ghetto with social and deprivation problems. It's nonsense. It's a lack of law and order.
So do you think there should be any understanding sought for what was behind these young people getting involved, the motive for it, or do you think it should be simply come down hard with the PSNI and with
come
the
law? Come down hard with the PSNI on the people that are directing them.
And no effort to try and find out what's behind it, why they
feel... There's nothing behind it. I tell you what's behind it. They're trying to get the remaining Protestants out of the fountain estate on the water side. That's exactly what's behind it. Just the same as they ethnically cleansed Suffolk from 98% Protestant to almost nothing. Ethnic cleansing.
It's tough, I guess, if you're 8 years old, 10, 12, 14, and you end up with... it's been dealt with by the law. Maybe if you're over that age of 12, you're then given a criminal record where, we recognise that you're a child, you're not an adult, and therefore, are you completely aware of the consequences of your actions? So where's the middle line for that?
I worked in the prison service for 30 years, and I looked after young offenders and taught them skills that would get them jobs and actually put them into jobs when they came out of the Young Offender Centre. Here's the problem. Parents are not taking responsibility for their children. Fathers are not taking responsibilities for single mothers who are living off the state. This is the social deprivation that they're talking about. Fathers are not tasked with paying for their children's upbringing or their children's welfare or anything else. The country needs a good kick up the backside.
Okay. 030-3080-5555. You might want to comment and react to that. Pick up your phone if you do at 1771 on the text. Eamon McCann, Derry, Londonderry has been pretty quiet in terms of rioting for quite a while now. So why now? Why the summer of 2018?
Well, it wasn't entirely quiet. There were sporadic things happening a couple of years back. And last year, there were bonfires, which were highly controversial, sort of in Derry, sort of right in the heart of the Bogside, sort of in a lot of, shall we say, liveliness around that when the police removed bonfire material and so on. So it hasn't come entirely out of the blue.
6 days in a row.
Sorry?
6 days in a row.
Oh, I know that. That's why we're talking about it. Of course, what I'm saying is sort of that for a long time we weren't talking about it at all. sort of them, and suddenly when this comes along, people say, oh my God, this is something absolutely new. Somebody must have caused this. Let's get them and stop them causing it again. That is a vast oversimplification for what is happening. And the gentleman who called and so on says, you know, it's this is evil people putting young people up to it. The police should go after them and so on. I can only give you my judgment, my understanding of it, based on experience of being down on a couple of nights last week in the middle of it. And I can say that at the beginning, I don't think this was orchestrated at all. I do not believe that dissident Republicans were involved in it. I believe that they took at least one tendency within what we call dissident republicanism, took advantage of it. And certainly when they moved in and got an automatic weapon, that wasn't caused.
You think those kids, those young people, they just took it upon themselves, Eamon?
Operation which had to be sanctioned by some sort of authority.
Eamon, you think then that those young people, they just took it upon themselves to start rioting, trying to attract the police in, throwing stones, bottles, whatever, and especially attacking that fountain estate?
Look, I mean,
it's a fair question to ask him.
Try to understand what is happening here and not be analysing it all the time from far distant and from above.
Pretend it's not happening.
They just take it into their own minds to do it. Well, I suppose in a sense that they did. But look, it is not unusual in the spot where this happens, at the bottom of Westland Street, junction with Leggy Road, at the bottom of the flyover coming in to the Bogside. You will find sort of in a summer night, almost any time you pass there, you find 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe 60 on some nights, young people hanging about, no doubt getting into bits of mischief. If a police van comes along, they'll throw stones at it. That is not an unusual thing. The idea that this came out of the blue is nonsense. What things were different was that the hurling of petrol bombs into the fountain. I don't think it was a conscious attempt to drive people out. It was an expression of sectarian hostility, if you like. And there's other aspects to the way the Protestant population in the West Bank of the River has dwindled over the years, which deserve an awful lot more attention. We've almost forgotten about it. But these things happen in the context of our politics and a political vacuum, sort of a nothing happening except wrangling and bitter sectarian head-butting, sort of going on sort of in conventional politics. Nobody even is attempting to remedy anything that is happening. Our public services being attacked.
Okay.
We're losing more and more jobs in the public service.
Okay, let me bring Doug Beattie.
Talk about how wonderful it is to get an industry in and so forth.
Let me bring Doug back in at this point.
Directly, and we got to talk directly to the young people involved. How many other people...
Well, are you talking directly to them young people? And if so, what are they saying to you on the ground, Eamon?
Well, what they're saying is what you would expect them to say. A, they were heap angry. They are very angry.
So you've
what is happening. They believe that they are being controlled. When you say about people controlling them, you talk directly and say, are you being controlled? They believe they are being controlled by outside society. They believe that they are being controlled by the community infrastructure, if you want to call it that. They believe that nobody listens to them, including the people who are praised in public about representing them and fighting for them. They feel isolated and abandoned, and they say that to you. Nobody gives an F about us. They say that in so many words. You don't have to be a sort of a sociologist to understand what's happening.
No, I understand what you're saying, Eamon.
And our politics and the political vacuum at the moment. And why should we be surprised happening?
It takes me, though, back to that point, Eamon, that there are, I am sure, lots of young people in Northern Ireland, in England, Wales, whatever, who feel like that for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But it's when they take that decision then to throw one stone at the police or take any kind of action that is simply breaking the law. Let's go to the phones. Stephen and Derry, good morning to you, Stephen. Go ahead.
Good morning, Bunny. I'm listening to your conversation there and, you know, listening to Doug Beattie and this thing about bad parenting and, you know, these young folks, they need to be put on the line and they need to be, you know, told that this is wrong, what they're doing and all the rest of it. There is no leaders out there, Bunny. That's the thing that I'm pulling up about. Today we were talking about these young people who are looking up and saying, you know, who am I looking to for guidance along the road? They're definitely not looking to Stormont, and I can tell you that. Because Doug,
do you think young people 10 years old look to Stormont for anything?
No, but their parents might. Their parents might, funny, and they might look at Stormont and say, well, you know, there's more than those young people who are damaging society today in this country, funny. There's more than those young people who are dragging the likes of Derry down. The politicians haven't sat in Stormont in over a year, funny. They're getting their full pay, and they're doing nothing for the young people. And Doug Beattie, to sit there and pontificate to people about what is right in society and what is wrong. Doug, get in and do your job and start.
Okay, well, Doug, you want to respond to that?
Well,
Well, first of all, if you'd listen to the whole conversation, at no stage did I say this is purely down to bad parenting. I said that it is a factor, as is social deprivation a factor. But for anybody to turn around and say to me that an 8-year-old is throwing petrol bombs because there's no Stormont Assembly, I find this absolutely laughable. The 8-year-old is throwing petrol bombs because he's following what the 14-year-old is doing. And the 14-year-old is throwing petrol bombs.
Hold on one second, Steve. Let him finish and come back in.
Because of what the adult is doing. And if somebody says to me, Duke, get yourself back in Stormont and get delivering, I'll tell you this. Get me back to Stormont. I want to deliver. I absolutely do not blame the people of the Bogside. I do not blame the people of Londonderry. I do not blame the people of Northern Ireland. There is a political vacuum, and it is politicians who are failing. And I'm one of those politicians. That means I'm failing. But for anybody to say that I'm sitting here blaming everybody else, it's just talking absolute nonsense. The same way anybody says that an 8-year-old is throwing petrol bombs because there's no Stormont, is talking absolute nonsense.
Okay, let's go to William in Belfast. Good morning, William. Go ahead.
Good morning. I see it slightly different. I would say this is a trap, and if the forces of law and order walk into it and make one mistake, harm one child, this will all swing against the forces again. I've seen this, I'm old enough to see this in 1972. You know what I'm going to say, but I'm not criticising anything. 1972, the lead up to Bloody Sunday, the army rolling around, petrol bomb, putting it out, firemen putting them out, week after week after week. And then another lad goes up and says not to have that. And ever since we've had victimhood. So this is a mini triad that. Think about it, because that's what's going on.
William, thank you. Brian in West Belfast. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Vinny. Vinny, just, I wasn't going to make this comment, but I'll make it now. And the comment I was saying about Eamon McCann mentioned, we all know it was orchestrated. Young ones in where I live, young people don't come on the streets and start throwing petrol bombs for nothing. So everybody knows it was orchestrated.
Well, Eamon says that it wasn't initially, he believes, but that people took advantage of it.
It was planned. I mean, look, all I'm saying, Vinny, it was planned. Obviously, it was planned. I mean, but I've seen so many brats in my time. But also, I agree with Doug Beattie said that I've said this before in your programme on different instances where there's been petrol bombs through at houses on both sides of the divide, you say. There should be a harder deterrent, as in attempted murder. That petrol bomb was through that van of a guy doing his work. Could have been killed, he could have mounted the curb and killed other people. That should be classed as attempted murder, and that may be a deterrent to stop young people from throwing petrol bombs.
Okay, Brian, thank you. Alex in Lisburn, good morning, Alex.
Morning. No, it's just if you follow the news, do you think there's a lot of truth into the cannabis social deprivation? But when those that are directing it and organising it are caught and arrested, they should be locked up for about 12 years. I mean, in England, if you're caught rioting, you get 4 or 5 years. Here, you get maybe 18 months.
What about with relation to the ages of them, Alex?
Well, look, if a 14-year-old throws a petrol bomb into a moving vehicle, that's attempted murder. He's attempted to kill somebody.
What about if they're 10 years old and they're below
that threshold?
Well,
they're below the age of criminal responsibility. Yeah. But then there's facilities for them. We had the two youngsters that killed the child over in England. They are taking the facilities that are designed for children that age. It is a serious crime. But I think one of the problems we have over here is, for an example, when that Member of Parliament in England was killed during the referendum campaign, the guy that done it was up in court that December and convicted. People see the crime, they see somebody arrested, they see somebody convicted. Over here, you see a crime, you see somebody arrested, and the conviction maybe doesn't take place for 2.5-3 years.
Well, we spoke to the PSNI about something similar last week in relation to what was happening up in the northwest, and I did say to the police, if someone is throwing a petrol bomb at the police, clearly that is breaking the law. It's illegal. It's dangerous, etc. Why not just arrest them there and then? But they said it simply is not just quite as easy as that each time, and they have to follow the processes, and sometimes that involves looking for more information and evidence after the effect. But do you think that people think the police are soft? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think when it comes to petrol bombs thrown at the police have safety equipment. It depends on the circumstances. It's a different thing a petrol bomb been thrown 100 yards away at a line of rat police that are all geared up for it, as opposed to, say, some policeman out on the beat in his normal patrol uniform. It's a different situation there. But and it's a different situation when you're throwing a pedal bomb at a van with somebody sitting in there in a pair of overalls. You know, he has no protection whatsoever. The police have fairly reasonable protection now against pedal bombs, although they're still a danger. But I think one of the problems we have over here is, A, we don't give enough sentences to people that are... You know, if somebody's found in possession of a rifle over here, he gets maybe 3 or 4 years. There's a guy in England there who threatened to kill Prince George. I just threatened to kill him. And he got life with 25 years. We are not hard. We need to take the people, take the head of the serpent and lock it away for years.
Okay, last call on this for now. George on the Shankill. Good morning, George.
Morning, Vinny. I would like to ask Eamon if he's still there, but not
he
only Eamon, Eamon and other community representatives and community leaders and community activists up there. What are they doing? Why are they not doing their job? Why are they not going forward and taking the bull by the horn here and getting these into the back of the neck and dragging them back into the bogside or wherever they're from? They're probably not even from the bogside, some of them. But dragging them back in, telling them it's wrong and taking action, because without community activists, we can't have it. And you see this, and it is a myth, that it's deprivation. You know, there's deprivation in the Shankill, and there's deprivation in Argoyne, and there always has been. You know, you can't keep harping back 30, 40, 50 years to blame it on them, you know, because we all had the same problems. You're the caller on there from Port of Oge, and just let me give you a historical quote that's on a wall in the Shankill from the late Hugh Smith. He said, "Historically, unionist politicians failed to elect the myth that they were first-class citizens, and without question, the people believed them historically. Republican and nationalist politicians fed their lactic the myth that they were second-class citizens, and without question, the people believed them historically. But in reality, the truth of the matter was, we all, Protestant and Catholics, were third-class citizens, and none of us realised it, and that's why we're in this myth, or in this mire we're in now. And as I say, get a community leader, get them together."
Well, let's let Eamon respond to that. Eamon McCann.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with everybody agrees with that, you know. Everybody agrees that it should stop. I agree that it should stop. And you're saying, why aren't there people, you know, sort of saying from the start, this is wrong? Well, most people in Derry, hardly anybody supports sort of a tax on the fountain.
Well, what about the perception of deprivation then, Eamon?
The events of the past week.
Eamon,
with respect, actions speak louder than words. There was a thing happened here in Belfast, 3 or 4 things the last couple of years, but the main thing was there was a statue put in the bonfire. Who put it there is in dispute, but there was a statue put in the bonfire, and there was 200 or 300 youth kids around that bonfire on the 10th of July, ready to light it. I walked over to the bonfire and put my life in danger, but certainly my safety, and lifted that statue and took it back to Ardoyne Chapel, where it still sits today. And that's what it needs up there. Unless somebody steps forward and gets them to the back of the neck, community leadership, and there doesn't seem to be none of that up there, sadly, it's lacking.
Okay, George, thank you. Eamon McCann, thank you as well. Doug Beattie, last word on this to you. Go ahead.
I think we need to move away from this. I think we need to give the police the time and the space to be able to deal with this issue. I think people in Londonderry and elsewhere in Northern Ireland, when they see this riotous behaviour taking place, that they inform the police to stop it, because it does us no good whatsoever. When what we've got now is we've got a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old charged with riotous behaviour, and that's going to be a criminal record for those two young lads, and we don't want that.